Hello, this is Brother Mike. Today, the Bible reading will begin in John chapter 18, beginning with verse 1, and we'll complete the book of John in this devotion. When Jesus had spoken these words, he went forth with his disciples over the brook Cedron, where was a garden, and into the which he entered and his disciples. And Judas also, which betrayed him, knew the place, for Jesus oftentimes resorted thither with his disciples. Judas then, having received a band of men and officers from the chief priests and Pharisees, cometh thither with lanterns and torches and weapons. Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that should come upon him, went forth and said unto them, Who do you seek? And they answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus saith unto them, I am he. And Judas also, which betrayed him, stood with them. As soon as then as he said unto them, I am he, they fell backward and fell to the ground. I want to make a comment on this, the idea of falling backwards. We see clearly that that these men fell backwards. God was showing them that he was the true judge, and that they fell backward, that they were under his judgment for coming to get him, to crucify him. Now, in the Christian world of our day, we have people preaching gospels and holding healing services where people come up and they touch him on the head and supposedly they're healed, and they fall backwards. If we were to do a word study on that phrase, fall backwards, in every case in the Bible, it has to do with God's judgment upon those people or person. In other words, everything in the Bible points to falling backward as being something that is signifying being under the wrath of God, not the blessing. And isn't it strange that we find many Christian churches and Christian crusades, people coming forward and falling backwards, a clear sign that they are not under the blessing of God. Interestingly enough, it says in Revelations that during the, right near the end of the world, in the final tribulation, that Satan would be able to call down fire from heaven. Fire in the Bible is symbolic of judgment. In many cases in the Bible, like when fire was called down on Sodom and Gomorrah to destroy those wicked cities, it was clearly a judgment against them. And many other places, we know that fire has to do with, is symbolic, that is, of God's judgment. Falling backwards also is a clear sign or symbol of God's judgment. So I do believe that in Revelation, when Satan is allowed to call down fire from heaven, is being fulfilled right before our very eyes with people falling backwards in the churches. The fire is symbolic of judgment, and that Satan's able to call down fire from heaven is the same, basically, as falling backwards. Remember the account of Elijah and the prophets of Baal, where Elijah, to determine who had the true God, they were to build an altar and put a sacrifice on it and call down fire from their gods. And whichever god was able to bring the fire down, his was the true God. And the story goes, of course, that Elijah's God was the only true God, and the vast majority of the prophets were of the a false god, because Satan himself, which is the false god, cannot literally call down fire from heaven. He wants to, because he wants to be the judge, and only the judge can truly bring judgment. And Satan, we know, longs to be like God and to be as great as God, and would love to be able to do that. And so what he does is he makes people fall down backwards in our day as if he's calling down fire from heaven. which he really is not. He's not the judge, but only the Lord Jesus Christ, God the Father, are the true judge. Well, let's continue on here. As soon as then as he had said unto them, I am he, they went backward and fell to the ground. Then asked he them again, who do you seek? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus answered, I have told you that I am he. If therefore you seek me, let these go their way, that the saying might be fulfilled which he spake, of them which thou gavest me I have lost none. Then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it, and smote the high priest's servant, and cut off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. Then said Jesus unto Peter, put up thy sword into the sheath. The cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it? Now, Peter often did similar things like this. I remember one account, I can't remember by memory exactly where that's at, but Jesus told his disciples that he would be forsaken by the leaders, religious leaders, and would die and would be killed by them. And Peter stood up to him and said, no way, Lord, that's not going to happen. And Jesus said, get behind me, Satan. You see, it was God's will that Jesus die, or be a demonstration of the death that was required for his people, to pay for the sins of his people. And so when Peter stood up and said, no way, Lord, that's not going, I won't let that happen to you. Peter was standing with Satan, because that's what Satan would want. Satan would have loved that Christ, of course, would have never died for his people, because then Satan would continue his role over the entire human race. But the fact that Christ died for his remnant, chosen by grace, makes it possible for them to come out of the clutches of Satan and into the realm and the servanthood of Jesus Christ. Continuing on, then said Jesus unto Peter, put up thy sword into thy sheath. The cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it? Then the band and the captain and the officer of the Jews took Jesus and bound him, and led him away to Annas first, for he was father-in-law to Caiaphas, which was the high priest that year. Now Caiaphas was he which gave counsel to the Jews that it was expedient that one man should die for the people. And Simon Peter followed Jesus, and so did another disciple. That Jesus was known unto the high priest, and went in with Jesus into the palace of the high priest. But Peter stood at the door without. Then went out that other disciple, which was known unto the high priest, and spake unto her that kept the door, and brought in Peter. Then saith the damsel that kept the door unto Peter, art not thou also one of this man's disciples? He saith, I am not. And the servants and the officers stood there, who had made a fire of coals, for it was cold, and they warmed themselves. And Peter stood with them and warmed himself. The high priest then asked Jesus of his disciples and of his doctrine. Jesus answered him, I spoke openly to the world. I ever taught in the synagogue and in the temple, whither the Jews always resort, and in secret have I said nothing. Why do you ask me? Ask them which heard me, what I have said unto them. Behold, they know what I said. And when he had thus spoken, one of the officers which stood by struck Jesus with the palm of his hand, saying, answer thou the high priest so? Jesus answered him, if I have spoken evil, bear witness of the evil. But if well, why smitest thou me? Now Annas had sent him bound unto Caiaphas the high priest. And Simon Peter stood and warmed himself. They said therefore unto him, art not thou also one of his disciples? He denied it, and said, I am not. One of the servants of the high priest, being his kinsman, whose ear Peter cut off, saith, did not I see thee in the garden with him? Peter then denied again, and immediately the cock crowed. Then led they Jesus from Caiaphas unto the hall of judgment, and it was early. And they themselves went not into the judgment hall, lest they should be defiled, but that they might eat the Passover. Pilate then went out unto them and said, What accusation bring you against this man? They answered and said unto him, If he were not a malefactor, we would not have delivered him up unto thee. Then said Pilate unto them, Take you him, and judge him according to your law. The Jews therefore said unto him, It is not lawful for us to put any man to death, that the saying of Jesus might be fulfilled, which he spake, signifying what death he should die. And of course, that is because the Romans' form of death was by crucifixion, and the Jewish was not. Then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again and called Jesus and said unto him, Art thou the king of the Jews? Jesus answered him, Sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell it thee of me? Pilate answered, Am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? Jesus answered, My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou a king then? Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I am king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth hears my voice. Pilate saith unto him, What is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews, and saith unto them, I find in him no fault at all. But you have a custom that I should release unto you one at the Passover. Will you therefore that I release unto you the king of the Jews? Then cried they all again, saying, Not this man, but Barabbas. Now Barabbas was a robber. And in that story of Barabbas, Christ not being released and Barabbas being released, that's a clear picture of what Christ has done for his people through his death. He died. He took the punishment that we deserve as sinners. He took it upon himself. And because of that, we were released from the prison chains of sin and destruction. And this here is like an earthly parable teaching that. The fact that the Jews did not let Jesus be released, but they released a sinner instead. They released Barabbas, which is a picture of that process of salvation that I just mentioned. Then Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him, and the soldiers plaited a crown of thorns and put it on his head, and they put on him a purple robe and said, Hail, King of the Jews! And they smote him with their hands. Pilate therefore went forth again and saith unto them, Behold, I bring him forth to you, that you may know that I find no fault in him. Then came Jesus forth wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe, and Pilate saith unto them, Behold the man. When the chief priests, therefore, and officers saw him, they cried out, saying, Crucify him! Crucify him! Pilate saith unto them, Take you him and crucify him, for I find no fault in this man. The Jews answered him, We have a law, and by our law he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God. When Pilate, therefore, heard that saying, he was all the more afraid, and went again into the judgment hall, and saith unto Jesus, Whence art thou? But Jesus gave him no answer. Then saith Pilate unto him, Speakest thou not unto me? Knowest thou not that I have power to crucify thee, and have power to release thee? Jesus answered, Thou could have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above. Therefore, he that delivered me unto thee has the greater sin. Jesus here clearly again teaching the sovereignty of God. God is in charge and in control of all things, and Pilate could have not given him over to be crucified or have the power to not crucify him unless it was given to Pilate by God. In a similar way, God has given the governmental powers throughout the world. He's given them the authority to institute law and to enact the punishment of people that go against the law. And they have that power because of the authority of God. God has given them that authority. And from henceforth, Pilate sought to release him. You know, Pilate could clearly see, really, that Jesus had no fault in him, that he didn't do anything wrong. He wasn't trying to be a king to overtake Caesar or anything, because he said, "My kingdom is not of this world. I'm a king of a world, of a place that's not even here." So it shouldn't have caused any problem. And Pilate could see this, and Pilate wanted to release him. But the Jews cried out, saying, "If thou let this man go, thou art not Caesar's friend. Whosoever maketh himself a king speaketh against Caesar." When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he brought Jesus forth and sat down in the judgment seat in a place that is called the pavement, but in the Hebrew, Gabbatha. And it was the preparation of the Passover, and about the sixth hour. And he saith unto the Jews, "Behold, your king." But they cried out, "Away with him! Away with him! Crucify him!" Pilate saith unto them, "Shall I crucify your king?" The chief priests answered, "We have no king but Caesar." Then delivered he him therefore unto them to be crucified. And they took Jesus and led him away. And he, bearing his cross, went forth into a place called the place of the skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified him. And two other with him, on either side one, and Jesus was in the middle. And Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross, and the writing was, "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." This title then read many of the Jews, for the place where Jesus was crucified was near to the city, and it was written in Hebrew and Greek and in Latin. Then said the chief priests of the Jews to Pilate, "Write not that the King of the Jews, but that he said, 'I am the King of the Jews.'" Pilate answered, "What I have written, I have written." Then the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, took his garments and made four parts, to every soldier a part, and also his coat. Now the coat was without seam, woven from the top throughout. They said therefore among themselves, "Let us not rend it or tear it, but let us cast lots for it, whose it shall be, that the scripture might be fulfilled, which saith, 'They parted my raiment among them, and for my vesture they did cast lots.'" Amazing. That's a quote from the Old Testament passages hundreds and hundreds of years before this even took place. And now it's being fulfilled. And there are just many, multitudes of scriptures like this throughout the Bible, clearly proving the validity of the Bible and what it teaches. "These things therefore the soldiers did. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother, and his mother's sister Mary, the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple standing by whom he loved, he said unto his mother, 'Woman, behold thy son.' Then saith he to the disciple, 'Behold thy mother.' And from that hour the disciple took her unto his own home." After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, saith, "I thirst." Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar and put it upon hyssop and put it up to his mouth. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. The Jews, therefore, because it was the preparation that the body should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day, for that Sabbath day was a high day, besought Pilate that their legs might be broken, and that they might be taken away. Then came the soldiers and broke the legs of the first and of the other which was crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was dead already, they broke not his legs. But one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came there out blood and water. And he that saw it bare record, and his record is true. And he knoweth that he saith true, that you might believe. For these things were done, that the scripture should be fulfilled. A bone of him shall not be broken. And again another scripture saith, they shall look on him whom they've pierced. More scriptures here we see being fulfilled hundreds of years later from when they were first written and prophesied. There's hundreds of these prophecies that were fulfilled in the New Testament dispensation that were spoken of in the Old. This is a very strong support, fulfilled prophecy, that the Bible is the Word of God, that it is the truth. And after this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, besought Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus, and Pilate gave him leave. He came therefore and took the body of Jesus. And there came also Nicodemus, which at the first came to Jesus by night. Remember at the beginning of John chapter 4 spoke about Nicodemus coming to Jesus, and Jesus telling him that he had to be born again, he must be born again, and you'll not see the kingdom of heaven. Now we see after Jesus dies here that Nicodemus appears on the scene again. That's what it means when it says, which at first came to Jesus by night, and brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100-pound weight. Could it be that Nicodemus had become saved? A leader? One of the leaders of the Jews? Then took they the body of Jesus, and wound it in linen clothes with the spices, as the manner of the Jews is to bury. Now in the place where he was crucified there was a garden, and in the garden a new sepulchre, wherein was never a man yet laid. There laid they Jesus, therefore, because of the Jews' preparation day, for the sepulchre was near at hand. The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and saith unto them, they have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. Peter therefore went forth, and that other disciple, and came to the sepulchre. So they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter, and came first to the sepulchre. And he stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. Then cometh Simon Peter following him, and went into the sepulchre, and seeth the linen clothes lie, and the napkin that was about his head not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went in also that other disciple, which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed. For as yet they knew not the scripture, that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again under their own home. Isn't that amazing? How unless God opens our eyes, we will not understand Scripture. Jesus told them many over and over again that he was going to die and rise from the dead before he actually did. And yet they never could understood it. They never understood it until afterwards. Even at this point afterwards. For it says, for as yet they knew not the Scripture, that he must rise again from the dead. They still didn't understand that. Then the disciples went away again unto their own home. But Mary stood without at the sepulchre weeping, and as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre, and seeing two angels in white sitting the one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they saw, and they say unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back, and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, Sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Jesus saith unto her, Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren, and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord, and that he had spoken these things unto her. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for the fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst, and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, Peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, Receive ye the Holy Spirit. Whosoever sins you remit, they are remitted unto them, and whosoever sins you retain, they are retained. This verse seems to make it sound like we can, if we forgive someone, then God forgives them. But actually, in the Greek language, it's actually the opposite of that. The idea is that having been forgiven sins in heaven first, their sins are forgiven on this earth. The priority or the firstness always takes place in heaven. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, We have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, Except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my fingers into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days again his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, Peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands. Reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, My Lord and my God. Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen, and yet have believed. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise showed he himself. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee and the sons of Zebedee and two other of his disciples. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a fishing, they say unto him. We also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. So here we got the disciples, Peter and the disciples, going back to the old job they used to do before they met Jesus and became fishers of men. They started going back and fishing for literal fish again and going back to their old work. And so that's what they did. And they caught nothing all night. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore. But the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus saith unto him, Children, have you any food? They answered him, No. And he said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and you shall find. They cast, therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, It is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt his father's coat unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. As soon then as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon, and bread. Jesus saith unto them, Bring of the fish which you have now caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes. Excuse me. 153. That's 153. And for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. Jesus saith unto them, Come and dine. And none of the disciples did ask him, Who art thou? Knowing they knew that it was the Lord. Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth them, and fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples, after that he was risen from the dead. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? You see, Peter had denied Jesus three times, if you remember. And now Jesus is coming back and saying, Peter, do you love me? You see, Peter thought he loved Jesus a lot more than he really did. He ended up denying Jesus three times. And Peter answers the Lord, Thou knowest that I love thee. Now in the Greek, there's three basic words for love. There's a word for love that means unconditional love, the word agape. And there's a word for friendship love or brotherly love, phileo. And the word that is being used here is the word phileo. So Peter is saying, yes, I love you as a friend, Jesus. You see, Peter wasn't now willing to say he loved him unconditionally because it was proven that he didn't. And so Jesus asked him, Do you love me? He saith unto him, Thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. See, Jesus is coming back to Peter and saying, Your job's not to be catching literal fish. I want you to be feeding spiritually my people and teaching them the truth. And leading people to Christ, to me. That's the job I want for you. So if you love me, this is what you need to be doing. He saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yes, Lord, thou knowest that thou phileo thee, that is, love thee as a friend. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? You know, Jesus has asked him, Do you love me? Do you love me unconditionally? And Peter answers him, I love you as a friend. You know that I love you. And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, Feed my sheep. So Jesus is coming and reinstating Peter. Peter had fallen, denying the Lord three times. He fell from following the Lord and did not stand. Of course, nobody can stand unless the Lord gives them the power to stand. And it wasn't God's will for Peter to stand during that time of darkness when Jesus was crucified. That's why he didn't stand. But now Jesus is coming back to Peter, and he's encouraging him to get back to what he was doing. That the Lord has forgiven him, and that if Peter loved the Lord, he was to go back fishing
and feeding God's sheep, that is feeding God's people, spiritual food, scriptural teachings by the Holy Spirit, that would be a blessing to his sheep, the sheep representing God's people. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands. Here's the idea. He's saying that Peter's going to stretch forth his hands when he gets old. That's apparently that Peter was going to be crucified. And another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, follow me. Can you imagine being told how you're going to die? Jesus just told Peter how he was going to die. And the time would come. Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved following, which also leaned on his breast at the supper, and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? Now Peter is turning and saying, well, what about this disciple? You know, Jesus just told Peter that he's going to die. And he was going to be crucified. And now Peter's kind of reacting to that and saying, well, what about this disciple? He should have to die too, kind of like, you know. Jesus saith unto him, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. In other words, your responsibility is to follow me. And how your life goes, or how someone else's life goes, and what happens in their life is none of your business. You're called to follow me in whatever you're called to, just like any other disciple is called to what they're called to. And they're responsible for what God has called them to. Well, when Jesus had said this, then went this saying abroad among the brethren that the disciple should not die. But yet Jesus did not say unto him, he shall not die, but if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? This is the disciple which testifieth of these things and wrote these things. And we know that his testimony is true. And there are also many others which Jesus did, many other things that Jesus did, the which, if they should be written, every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. Amen. This is Brother Mike at May-21, 2011.com, wishing you all the best.